Hey everyone, it is great to be with you this morning and welcome to my man cave. I mean, I have been going through withdrawal, not being able to watch baseball these last few weeks, but at least with all of my collectibles and memorabilia, I can remember the good old days when I could actually go outside and enjoy a game. Well, I hope you and your families are doing well. And before we go any further, happy Mother's Day to all of you moms out there. We honor you today for all that you have done. Yours is one of the most important roles that there is, and I pray that you will feel valued today. You know, many of us haven't worked these past several weeks, but I know that can't be said for you moms. You have had to work extra hard. Some of you have been homeschooling your kids, and I just want you to know that your efforts bring a smile to God's face. For many of us, these have been difficult days. I have a couple of friends who have had the virus. Some of us have lost loved ones during this time and haven't even been able to have a wake or a funeral, so they're not getting the closure that we're accustomed to. Some folks have lost their jobs. But I have a question for you. Years from now, when you look back on the COVID crisis of 2020, what do you think you will remember most about this experience? You know, my guess is for us adults, the things we remember will be overwhelmingly negative. I mean, even if we weren't affected physically by the virus, we will think of those who got sick with it or perhaps even died. We'll remember what it did to us financially, how we might have even lost our jobs. We'll remember having to stay in our homes and not being able to do the things that we want to do. We'll remember not being able to go to church or to the mall or perhaps watch a baseball game, which has been a real hardship for me. By and large, for us adults, this has not exactly been a pleasant experience. But when kids one day look back at this, I dare say their response will be very different. I would guess that most, if not all of them, would say, "That was awesome. I mean, we didn't have to go to school. We did stuff as a family that we never did before. We went for walks. We played board games. We Zoomed with Grandpa and Grandma. We made popcorn and watched movies. Mom and Dad were both there to put us to bed at night. That was a great time." You know, there is something about seeing the world through the eyes of a child that I find quite refreshing. And that is a word we're going to explore a bit today. That word refresh is used several times in the Old Testament, and it is best translated to rest, to find relief, to take breath, to revive. Refresh quite literally means to make fresh again. And it is a key word in the scripture passage we're going to look at this morning, a very familiar passage. Psalm 23 is unquestionably the most well-known chapter in the entire Bible. I remember memorizing it as a kid, and it is a psalm that is just packed with hope and comfort and promise, words that are much needed in times like these. So I invite you to listen to these words of David. "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." What a wonderful word picture David paints for us in this psalm. God as our shepherd. Now, David knew a little something about shepherds. He was one. And this psalm gives us a glimpse as to what a good shepherd does. And as we explore how David's words might give us encouragement today, I'd like to zero in on those first four words of verse 3. He refreshes my soul. He refreshes my soul. He gives rest. He gives relief to our souls. He revives them. He breathes life into them. He makes our souls fresh again. And friends, when we think of being refreshed, of finding rest and relief, we think in terms of our body, right? Physical rest. Some of us may think of rest for our mind, a mind that may be weighed down with worry. But here, David tells us that the Lord, our shepherd, leads us beside quiet waters, not to refresh our body, not to refresh our mind. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us beside those quiet waters to do what? To refresh our soul. Now, how exactly would one describe the soul? Well, I'm glad you asked. Our soul is the deepest part of us. It is our innermost being. The soul is at the very core of who we are, and it has incredible value because it is the only part of us that will live forever. So that is the part of us that our Lord wants to refresh, to provide rest for, to breathe life into. You know, when we ask each other how they're doing in this crisis, we're more concerned about how they're doing physically or perhaps emotionally. But our shepherd is infinitely more concerned about the state of our soul. So how about it? As you have been confined to your homes for weeks, as your schedule has changed drastically, as your world has been turned upside down, how is your soul? Are you and God connecting at a soul level? Are you experiencing his peace and joy and love and grace in your innermost being? Do you feel spiritually refreshed? The Lord, your shepherd, leads you to those green pastures and quiet waters so he can restore your soul. When God created us, he made us in his image. And while he designed our bodies and minds in all of their intricacies, his signature is our soul. That is the very core of who we are. That is what sets us apart from all creation. That is the part of us that gives us worth. And you may have found these past few weeks, life's journey can bring about a lot of wear and tear on our souls. Things like COVID happen in our lives and in our world that cause us to doubt, worry, be discouraged, maybe even angry. And those things not only affect us physically and emotionally, they can affect us spiritually. They can affect our soul. Well, I have found that one good thing about going through what we have been going through is that people are doing a lot more introspection. We're taking the time to think about what's really important in our lives. And I'd like to point out that to God, nothing is more important than the condition of our soul. Now, there are a number of things that can cause damage to our souls. And I would like to address four of the most serious culprits today. And I'm quite sure you can relate to at least a couple of them. Four things that cause wear and tear on our souls. And the first one is busyness. Busyness. I mean, if you felt you were going crazy already on day one of quarantine because you're just so used to being busy all the time, this might be something you want to take a look at. Busyness is an all too common malady in our culture. Medical doctors and counselors have been saying it for years. We are too busy, and the statistics bear that out. For example, in the 1970s, the American work week averaged 40.6 hours a week. By the turn of the century, it was 50.2 hours a week. Now, where do you think those extra 10 hours are coming from? More than likely, we're taking it from the things that refresh our souls. I mean, how easy is it when our to-do list is 4 pages long to just say, yeah, I'll do my prayer time later. I'll double up on my devotions tomorrow. We put off our soul care. Friends, if we're too busy for God, then we're too busy. You know, we talk openly about the pandemic of the coronavirus in our world, but what about the epidemic of busyness? You know, most of us are on the go from sun up to sundown, and we are paying the price for it. Before Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, did you know that the average American was sleeping 10 hours a night? 10 hours a night. But thanks to artificial light, which basically allows us to cram more stuff into our day, according to the National Sleep Foundation, people today spend an average of 6 hours and 40 minutes a night. And you know what makes that statistic even scarier? The fact that many of you just said to yourself, boy, what I wouldn't give to get 6 hours and 40 minutes of sleep a night. People, this is not a good thing. You know, what has made busyness so damaging to our soul is that we come to see our God time is just one more thing we have to try to fit into our day. I mean, even in quarantine, we have had chores and appointments and trips to the store and homework and housework and times of silence, solitude, and soul care. You got to be kidding me. Who on earth has time for that? Now, there's a very interesting line, a choice of words that David uses in Psalm 23 that I'd like to point out. When David writes about our shepherd refreshing our souls, our shepherd brings us somewhere first. He brings us to green pastures, right? And what does he do when we get there? David writes, he makes us lie down. He makes us lie down. God doesn't invite us to lie down. He doesn't suggest that we take a little breather. He makes us lie down. And that implies that lying down in God's green pastures would probably not be something we would choose to do. I mean, we've got places to go and things to do and people to see. God has to make us do it. Has it ever crossed your mind that maybe one of the reasons God has allowed this worldwide shutdown is to make us lie down? To make us stop running from one activity to the next so that we can find that much needed rest for our souls? Because of the shepherd's great love for us, because he knows what is truly best for us, because he values the state of our souls, he makes us lie down in green pastures. In his amazing cantata, Messiah, George Frederick Handel wrote a piece in which he married the words of Isaiah 40 from the Old Testament and Matthew 11 from the New Testament. And it offers a perfect description as to what soul refreshment looks like. So before I read them, what I'd like you to do is just close your eyes, just wherever you are, just close your eyes so that you can take this in at a soul level. In fact, just take a deep breath. Breathe in for 3 seconds, long inhale. And then let it out for 3 seconds. Breathe in the presence of God. Breathe out those things that would distract you. Breathe in the presence of God. Breathe out all that clutters your mind. And now imagine yourself lying down in that green pasture beside quiet waters. And picture Jesus standing beside you, a smile on his face. And friends, with that picture in mind, just let these words speak to your soul. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Come to me and find rest. Come to me and find rest. You can go ahead and open your eyes. Friends, pay attention to the word of God. The shepherd is not asking you, he is telling you, stop with your never-ending to-do list and take the time to lie down in green pastures beside quiet waters. Take the time to find rest for your soul. You know, God is not all that impressed with our busyness if it's bringing harm to our soul. And here's another thing that can cause damage to our souls: worry. You know, how many of you are experiencing a lot more worry since this virus happened? I mean, you get a little scratch in your throat and think, oh no, I've got it. Or you worry that your kids or your parents will become infected. Maybe you're more worried about how it's going to affect you financially going forward. When will I be able to go back to work? Will I be able to go back to work? Will our economy ever recover from this? But I want you to hear this. The damage that worry causes is far more devastating than the damage this virus will cause. The damage of worry is far more damaging than the damage of the virus. You know, most people who have had the virus have had absolutely no symptoms. They were not affected by it at all. That cannot be said of people who are infected with worry. You see, worry just affects every part of us. Worry affects us mentally. I mean, for some of us, it's all we've been thinking about, whether or not we're going to get this virus. It consumes our mind. And that worry soon crowds out everything else. And we easily become preoccupied with the negative, all the doomsday reports. It affects us mentally. Worry also affects us emotionally. It puts us on guard. It magnifies our senses, makes us touchy. I mean, being in quarantine with others, you've probably seen the emotional effects of worry on people close to you. And I pray that you're able to see it in yourself. Worry affects us emotionally. It affects us mentally. And there is no question worry affects us physically. Friends, it is not just a saying. We can actually worry ourselves sick. It's a medical fact. Chronic worriers are much more prone to suffer with things like ulcers and migraines, panic attacks, depression, and a host of other problems. Worry affects us physically. But perhaps most devastating, worry affects us spiritually. I mean, think about it. When we worry, what we're really saying is, God, I don't trust you. So in his word, our loving shepherd tells us over and over again, don't worry, fear not, don't be afraid, be of good courage. Jesus even asks us, who by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Worrying does us no good. It's infectious. But the good news is God offers us a vaccine. There is a remedy for worry. And we find it in Philippians 4. Listen to these words from the Apostle Paul. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything you can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. You see, worry is a conversation we have with ourselves about the things we're unable to change. But prayer is a conversation we have with our God about the things he is able to change. Don't worry about anything, Paul writes. Now get this, and talk about a great word picture. The English root of the word worry that Paul uses here, do you know what it means? It means to strangle. And friends, if this is what is happening to your soul, then it's time. It's time. It's time to lie down in God's green pastures where he will tenderly refresh our souls, where our shepherd will replace that death grip of worry with his tender touch of peace. Peace that we won't find anywhere else in this world. Peace that surpasses our understanding. Peace that will stand guard over our hearts and our minds. Come to me, our shepherd asks, and you will find rest for your souls. A third contributor to the wear and tear on our souls is discontentment. You know, one thing to me that has really stood out these past few weeks is just how discontented we can be in life. I mean, we don't want to be quarantined. We don't want social distancing. We don't want to wear a mask. We want to go back to work again. We want the schools to open again. At least all the mothers do. We want things to get back to normal. By and large, we are not content at all with this situation. Well, in that same chapter I just read from, Philippians 4, Paul also wrote a little something about the importance of being content. Listen to what he writes, verses 12 and 13. Paul says, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry. Whether living in plenty or in want, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. No one wants to be in the situation we find ourselves in, but my friends, we have a choice to make. We can either choose discontentment and see ourselves as helpless victims, or like Paul, we can choose to be content. We can choose to focus not on our circumstances, but on our Savior. We can choose to focus not on what we don't have, but on what we do have. We can choose to focus not on how COVID-19 has harmed us as a people, but how it has actually helped us, how it has brought families back together, how it has caused us to get our priorities straight, how it has taught us that the church is not a building, it's the people, how it has brought us into deeper relationship with God, how it has made us to lie down in green pastures so that our souls can be refreshed. That, my friends, is the secret to being content that Paul speaks of. It's seeking those opportunities to lie down beside quiet waters. It's choosing to simply be still and know that he is God. It's knowing in the depths of our soul that our shepherd loves us, that he cares for us, that he will provide for our needs. If you have yet to find that secret, I invite you again to lie down in the green pasture, because the shepherd is dying to teach it to you. And finally, another thing that can cause wear and tear on our souls is people. Now, I don't know about you, but I have experienced much more anger than fear in this COVID crisis. mean, I've not been particularly fearful from the very beginning of this crisis. I believe that God is in control. I believe that we will get through this virus like we have gotten through every other virus. I believe that our economy will bounce back like it has every time before. I've not been particularly fearful during this crisis, but I'll be honest, I have been angry. And I've been angry at people. I am angry at elected officials who have made this political. I am angry at people, even fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord, who have been downright nasty to others because they happen to have different ideas than others as to how we are to go forward. I am angry at a press corps that sensationalizes things, reporters who won't let the truth stand in the way of a good story. In fact, I've learned early on that for me to care well for myself and my soul, I had to stop watching the news. I had to limit my time on social media because I was allowing people to steal my joy and rob me of peace. People who were not refreshing my soul, they were actually disturbing my soul. Now, friends, we have been commanded to love. We're commanded to love even our enemies, even the people we disagree with politically. God's word tells us we are to pray for those who persecute us. We are to pray for those who say evil things. But we are called to love ourselves as well. So sometimes we need to set boundaries around people who don't refresh our souls, but who disturb our souls. And maybe, just maybe, when we do that, we will see that it is us who needs to change. I came across something last week that just hit me right between the eyes, so much so that I posted it on Facebook. The author chose to remain anonymous, so I can't give credit to whoever it is who wrote it, but I want you to listen to what they wrote. I heard that we are all in the same boat. But it's not like that. We are in the same storm, but not in the same boat. Your ship could be shipwrecked, and mine might not be, or vice versa. For some, quarantine is optimal, a moment of reflection, of reconnection, easy in flip-flops with a cocktail or coffee. For others, this is a desperate financial and family crisis. For some that live alone, they're facing endless loneliness, while for others, it is peace, rest, and time with their mother, father, sons, and daughters. Some families of four just received $3,400 from the stimulus, while other families of four saw nothing. Some want to go back to work because they don't qualify for unemployment and are running out of money. Others want to kill those who break the quarantine. Some are home spending 2 to 3 hours a day helping their child with online schooling, while others are spending 2 to 3 hours a day to educate their children on top of a 10 to 12 hour workday. Some have experienced the near death of the virus. Some have already lost someone from it, and some are not sure if their loved ones are going to make it. Others don't believe this is a big deal. Some have faith in God and expect miracles during 2020. Others say the worst is yet to come. So, friends, we are not in the same boat. We are going through a time when our perceptions and needs are completely different. Each of us will emerge in our own way from this storm. It is very important to see what is beyond what is seen at first glance. Not just looking, actually seeing. We are all on different ships during this storm, experiencing a very different journey. Realize that and be kind. Realize that and be kind. Friends, it is my prayer that one day, years from now, when you look back on the COVID crisis of 2020, you will say, that is the time when I sense God's presence like never before. That is the time when I realize that the time I spent with those I love is much more important than the time I spent pursuing the things of this world. That is the time I stopped worrying about the things I couldn't control and put my trust in the one who controls everything. That is the time when I learned the secret of being content, when I stopped obsessing about what I don't have and started thanking God for what I do have. That is the time when I began to truly love others, even people who aren't very lovable, because I came to the realization that Jesus died for them too. That is the time when I learned the importance of regularly lying down in green pastures beside quiet waters so that I can find rest for my soul. Lord God, may it be so. Will you pray with me? Oh, Jesus, how grateful we are that you are our shepherd. And because of your care for us, we lack nothing. Everything we need in life, we find in you. Thank you for providing green pastures for us, where our souls can be refreshed. May we meet you there often. In your precious name we pray. Amen. God bless you in the days ahead.